In my devotions this week, I came across a verse in Psalm 40, verse 8. I put it on my little bulletin board at the office just as a reminder. And it's going to go along with our message this morning in the book of Jonah. We're coming to a close in our series this summer in the book of Jonah, as we're in the last chapter of chapter 4. And I've just been so challenged and encouraged, learning about the character of God through this book. I hope you have been too. But we come to a close here. But in Psalm 40, verse 8, it said this: I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Do you? There's a question I kept asking myself this week. Do I delight in doing God's will? In Jonah chapter 4, as I unpack the first four verses, we are going to come across a man of God in Jonah, a prophet of God in Jonah, who is not delighting in doing what God has called him to do. And I got to guess we can relate with Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, look at the first four verses. And to bring in context, if you haven't been here in our study of Jonah, Jonah has just witnessed and been a part of a great revival. 500,000 people coming to a saving knowledge of God. A pagan nation of Nineveh, haters of God, most ruthless nation in the world, capital of Babylon. Seeing them repent and turn to a holy God, Jonah delivered that message. The end of chapter 3, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do on them. How exciting! And so we come to Jonah chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord. And he said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it would be better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? When I was part of a core group of people planning a church on the south side of Des Moines, I got to tell you, I was super pumped to bring the gospel to an area that desperately needs the gospel. Every area desperately needs the gospel. Amen? Well, I was part of a core group of people that was planning a church on the south side, and what a great opportunity it was for me and my family. On a weekly occasion, I would go door to door, knocking on people's doors, trying to develop a relationship with people so that I could share the gospel. The saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to someone who God would be working on. Couldn't tell you how excited I was. Now, when you go door to door, it seems like there's very little interest in this world for Jesus Christ. So oftentimes it would be very depressing, yet God would work in my heart so that I was going so that he would work on me first. On one particular occasion, probably a year within the church plant, I met a couple, and I met this couple. I knocked on the door, and this lady was like, she couldn't wait to come to church. Yeah, oh yeah, I've been thinking about these things. I mean, you could tell she didn't know Jesus, but definitely God was working on this lady. I'll never forget her. She said, yes, me and my husband have been thinking about going to church, and we want to get back because we have kids, and you know, our kids need church. And I'm thinking, yeah, you do too. And so I'm thinking, man, this made it worth it today to go out calling. I'm so thankful I went out, God. Thank you for this awesome opportunity. Well, a couple weeks later, guess what? This couple showed up at church. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that was like, that made my day. Now, I got to imagine if you've ever invited someone to church and they came, it excited you because they get to hear the Word of God. You want them to be encouraged by that. Well, they came. And guess what? They filled out a visitor card. I was going to get an opportunity maybe to go follow up with this couple, share the gospel. Guess what? The lead pastor, my friend, took that visitor card and said, oh yeah, this awesome opportunity, I'm going to go to it. I looked at him, I was like, what you talking about? I mean, I put all that work in. Guess what happened? He went and did a Bible study with this couple. I mean, I begged to have Bible studies with people. He had a Bible study with this couple, and guess what? God saved them. Amen, right? They got baptized. He's now a deacon in the church. But I wanted the opportunity. But I knocked on the door. I got to tell you, I was pretty bitter. I was bitter with him, and I was kind of bitter with God. I mean, I'd been working my butt off. I remember it gnawed on me. I didn't just let it gnaw on me. I mean, it gnawed on me for weeks. He would preach a message, and I would just look at him with, like, scorn. Like, dude, you took my opportunity. I'm not even going to listen to your message. Forget you. Finally, it was a communion service. I didn't even really hear what his message was that day, but I was cut to the core. How dare I do ministry with a conjunction of but? I literally walked up during communion while everyone was praying, and like what we do here at communion, I went over and I asked him to forgive me. First, I did business with God, pleading with him to forgive me and grant me repentance. But then I went over to him, my pastor, and told him and confessed to him my bitterness. And then afterwards, to tell him to be hold me accountable to my attitude. Doing God's work with the conjunction but steals all of your joy. Now, in Scripture, there are some great examples of the conjunction but used in Scripture that have great encouragement. Let me give you some examples. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power, the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God. So thankful for this conjunction. Being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Thank God. How about John 3:16? Remember? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thank God for that conjunction. How about Romans 5:8? But God shows his love for us in that while we're still sinning, Christ died for us. Amen? How about Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5? For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works we've done, but us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And let's not forget the Old Testament. Just one verse here. Psalm 73, verse 26, I read in my devotions. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. These are some examples when the conjunction but is used to bring great news of God's mercy and grace. But typically, when someone uses the conjunction but, it usually means something negative, doesn't it? I really like your hair, but. Listen, I really think you're smart, but. I really would like to be your friend, but. Whenever you use the conjunction but after a sentence, it really wipes away everything that you just said, doesn't it? In Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, we see the conjunction but. And it truly represents the heart of Jonah, during what should have been a spiritual mountaintop experience. Remember the great city, 500,000 people repenting to the one true God. But we see Jonah's heart exposed by a conjunction. It's been a roller coaster, hasn't it, in Jonah? In chapter 1, we see God giving Jonah, a prophet of God, the message to deliver to a pagan nation so that they would repent. And Jonah says no, and he takes off, hiding from God. And God in his great mercy. Remember, this book is about God's mercy. Not about Jonah, it's about how God demonstrates his mercy to a man. We see Jonah thrown into the sea, and we see God doing a work in the life of Jonah and the prayer in the belly of a great fish, where he surrenders the will to God and then goes to Nineveh and sees a spiritual victory. And now we come to chapter 4, and his heart is still exposed with the conjunction but. Listen, this morning I want to point out three things from this verses 1 through 4. That if you're doing ministry like Jonah, with a conjunction like but, there are some absolute things that are going to take place in your heart and also demonstrate God's mercy through this. So the first thing that I want to point out is this. When the conjunction but is part of your ministry, whether it's at a local church, or if it's in your home, or if it's at work, or if it's in your neighborhood, if you have the conjunction but added to your ministry, this is what's going to take place. The first thing is your heart will be displeased and angry. Isn't that what verse 1 says? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. The word displeased in the Hebrew really carries the meaning of being disagreeable. Jonah did not agree with the way God is doing things. Jonah should have been rejoicing, maybe setting up some church plants, something for the glory of God. But he wanted to quit. Sounds like a child, doesn't it? If you don't get your way in ministry, I quit. Now, the Pollock house is a very competitive house. All because of Laura. She's super, super competitive. Brooke is laughing right now. She's in our small group, very competitive girl over there too. So in our house, we are super, super competitive. But just to make sure you realize that I'm also competitive, I want to give you just one example of where I'm competitive. We have this stupid Wii game called Mario Kart. Now, I don't really like video games that much. Sometimes. This Mario Kart gets the best of me. Because my kids completely dominate me. They laugh me. They're laughing at me. They're throwing any kind of junk at my car. I literally will just pull over and just scream and yell and just, I want to quit. I'm done. My heart is extremely displeased and angry when I don't get my way. The natural reaction, sinful natural reaction, is just to quit. Jonah, because of the conjunction but, wanted to quit, even in the midst of God doing an amazing work. Look at the verses again. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. The word anger in the Hebrew literally means to be kindled. It carries the notion that you're putting kindling on a fire. Like if you've ever gone camping, if you want to start a fire, you have to use kindling. A kindling will burn quickly so that you can put the big logs on because you got the coals burning and it's just rocking. Well, that's what this word anger literally means. It means you are kindling your fire. You are causing it to burn hotter and hotter and hotter. Now, how does that take place? Have you ever had conversations in your head about how ministry should go? How you would have potentially done it better? Let me ask you, as I asked myself this week, do you see yourself as a disagreeable person? If someone does something in the ministry, whether it's at church or at home or at your office, wherever God has you, would people say you're a disagreeable person? Not rejoicing when something encouraging takes place? You sit back and you say, man, if I would have done it, I would have done it this way, and it would have gone way better. Now listen, hear me out. It is okay to evaluate all ministries. I've had a conversation with JC, and this is the appropriate way. Me and JC have been having conversations about ministry in general. When we talk, his attitude, and he's always so very sensitive about this, but I didn't even tell you I was going to talk about this, so sorry. It's spirit-led. But he's just like, man, I just have this idea, and this would be so cool if we could do this, and I think a lot of people would come and hear the gospel, and it'd be such an encouraging thing, and I just want you to know, I love the way we're doing it now, but if I can at all help to make things, do this because of the gift set that I have and how excited I am to reach people, and I'm just like, yes, yes! And he made sure to tell me, he's like, no, listen, I'm not disagreeing, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm so excited to be a part of ministries that I wanna just throw myself into it. Even if I'm not leading it or doing anything, I just want to be a part of it. That's the way you do ministry. But would people say that you have a disagreeable spirit? I gotta tell you, there are times that this is my heart. I just feel like because of an attitude of controlling, oftentimes I live in a ministry of, I got to tell you, it steals my joy. When I should be encouraged about what God is doing in any ministry, I ruin it with the conjunction, but. Am I alone? Jonah's heart was disagreeable and it was kindling with anger. How do you kindle anger? How does this happen in a believer's life? Listen, it happens by thinking non-biblically, non-theologically, not being in God's Word. You start to think, I could do it better. Why would God do it that way? Why did He use that person? Why didn't He use me? And it absolutely steals your joy. Jonah's heart is being exposed by God in His mercy. The conjunction but showed that he had a heart that was disagreeable, and he had a heart that was growing angry. The second thing that I see when you add the conjunction but to your ministry, wherever God has you, is that you begin to have a self-centered life and prayer. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me, or 2 and 3. And he prayed. You'd think that'd be a good thing, right? And he prayed to the Lord. And he said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting in disaster. Therefore, listen to this prayer. Listen to this selfish prayer. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life. For it is better that I die than live. God, if I don't get my way, then I'm not going to be used. If you don't use me the way I think I should be used, I'm done. Instead of, for your glory, God, for your plan is perfect, God, Jonah's heart was exposed for a selfish attitude, a selfish, centered life and prayer life. When you walk with Christ and the conjunction but is in that, it exposes your disagreeable heart, it exposes your anger, and it exposed your self-centeredness, my self-centeredness, and the discipline of the Lord. Oh, that God would build in us an attitude like Paul's. By the work of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. Look at Paul's reaction towards his discomfort. As we've read about it, and if you haven't read about it, I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As you witness and see all of the things that Paul went through, you would think that Paul would be one angry dude. Can't believing all the things that he had to go through, the beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks, the divisions within the church, all the things that Paul went through, yet he did not quit by the grace of God. We read in Philippians chapter 1 this, verses 21 through 25. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if and when we die, it's not an if, we're going to die physically, okay? 100% of Christians, 100% of non-Christians are going to die. Okay, Paul knew he was going to die, and yet he says to live is Christ, to die is gain. When I die, I get to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. If I live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart, to go to heaven, to be with Christ, for that's far better than this life, right? But, the conjunction, but, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on whose account? On the people he's ministering to. On their account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy and your faith. God desires to work in our hearts that we choose to minister because it's God working through us. Jonah saw his ministry as a selfish demonstration of his work. God exposed him. God exposed him. And it leaves number three. When you have the conjunction but in your ministry, it absolutely exposes you to a teachable moment from God. Amen? Follower of Jesus Christ, if you have a ministry with the conjunction but in it, then you open the door to a teachable moment from God. Don't you just love teachable moments? Yeah, amen. Look at verse 4 with me. After this prayer, the word of God says, "And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry?" Do you, Jonah, have a good reason to add the conjunction but to your ministry and to your walk with me? Do you do well to continue to be kindled in your bitterness? How's that working for you, Jonah? God asks great questions, don't he? Do you recall the very first question God ever asked in Scripture? Let me remind you. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, as God addressed the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and he said, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Now, when God asks a question, let me just tell you a little bit about God. He knows where you are. That's called sovereignty. It's called omniscience. It's called omnipresent. He knows. The question he asks is for you to answer, for you to search your heart. When he asks, "Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Greg?" he's asking that question for me to learn something about my heart. In Genesis chapter 4, we see again a question that is asked of Cain. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" Same word, it's that kindling of anger. "And why has your face fallen?" It's a question that Cain has to answer. And God already knows the answer. Listen, follower of Jesus Christ, do you do well to be angry in your ministry? At home? At work? In your neighborhood? Whoever God puts in place, do you do well to be angry about your ministry? How's it serving you? How's it serving? God aims to ask that question of all of us. So where are you this morning? You know, as I studied this passage, I was reminded again of that opportunity I had at Living Waters. And just so you know, it's happened at High Point too, where I've added "but" to my ministry. And I've ripped away my joy in serving Christ. And I ask God, please forgive me. Draw me to repentance. Grant me repentance so that I might change. So I'm calling you, church. Hold me accountable. If I don't have a ministry where I am excited about all that God is doing, and let me tell you, God is doing amazing things. Amen? God is doing amazing things, even in our mistakes. Can you believe he does that? So what about you this morning? I love that Jonah exposes to us his heart. And by the inspiration of Scripture, we all learn about Jonah's heart, and no doubt it exposes our hearts this morning. So often through these messages in Jonah, just recently a woman called me and said, "I'm Jonah. I'm just like Jonah." And I said, "Me too." we learn about the character of God in Jonah. Listen to me. If you have added "but" to your ministry, God desires to still use you. Isn't that great mercy? Listen, if your heart is right now thinking, man, I'm living in that "but God" kind of ministry, the conjunction is just, it's controlling my life. Listen, God's aim is to cause you to have a teachable moment. That's his mercy. We learn about God's character through Jonah. Are you learning? Are you learning more about how God desires to use you in spite of you so that he can grow us to give him glory and to reach a lost world? We look at Jonah and no doubt we see ourselves. Is the conjunction "but" ruining your ministry? Do you do well to be angry? Listen, if you're here today and you have never, listen to me, I'm going to take a little detour here. If you are here today and you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, for the wrath that you absolutely deserve, then I'm here to tell you that God wants to change your hearts. He desires to forgive you of your sins, but you must first acknowledge you are a sinner. And for many, for me, for 26 years, this drug dealing, fake ID making, sex addicted person thought that sin was worth it. My idols were worth it. But God, rich in mercy, saved me, forgave me, and is causing me to learn day by day his great mercy. If you're here today, God doesn't want to change your ministry if you're not a follower of Christ. He wants to change your eternal life first. When you place your trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then God begins to do a great work. First in salvation and then in sanctification. And those of us who call Jesus Lord and Savior today, he is still working. Amen? He wants to work through Jonah, and he wants to work through you so that he gets all the glory. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you that in spite of us, you desire to show us your great mercy, your great plan of salvation, and you desire, Lord, for us to have real joy. And Lord, I know in my life, sin and the conjunction "but" has stolen my joy. Lord, I do want my desires to be like Psalm 40, verse 8, where it says, I delight to do your will. I am so happy to do your will because I know that, God, it is your work. No matter who you use, it's for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.